Reggie, look. Here. Just hold it like this.
Whoa. I'm not really the baby holding type.
It's easy. Even a super advanced future turkey can do it. Oh, she wants you to throw up some worms into her mouth. What girl wouldn't?
That's sweet. And disgusting.
Well, good night, Reggie from the future.
Good night, Jenny from my dreams.
Hello, everybody. It's Tony from COPO, and I'm guest hosting these interviews for AnimationInsider.com. And today we're going to be doing our final interview with the filmmakers from Real Effects Animation Studios out of Dallas. We're going to be speaking with Chris DiGiovanni, the assistant director of the film Free Birds. It's their first theatrical feature-length animated film about two turkeys who travel back in time to the first Thanksgiving. And it stars the voices of Owen Wilson, Woody Harrelson, and Amy Poehler, and it's in theaters this November. Now, if you haven't heard the first two episodes where we interviewed Jeff Biancolana, the head of story, and Rich McCain, the supervising animator, be sure you go back and check those out. And we're going to wrap things up here now with our interview with Chris DiGiovanni, the assistant director.
I want to say thanks for taking the time to talk to us today, Chris, because I know you guys are super busy over there.
Yes, we're running around crazy press junket style, getting ready for the release coming up in a couple of days. But as always, we love talking to folks in the industry, so we're glad to be here.
Are you running around like turkeys with your heads cut off?
Literally like with our heads cut off.
That was terrible. Sorry. I want to ask you a few questions today about your personal career and also about Free Birds, but I want to start with you. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and where you're from and how you got into animation?
Born and raised in New York City. Back in the day, I cut my teeth doing live action work at a little network called MTV. I then worked at Pixar for about 11 years, and then I left Pixar and have been kind of bouncing around from project to project, mostly working with Jimmy Hayward.
He did Horton Hears a Who. Were you on that project?
Yeah, Horton Hears a Who. Actually, I started when I switched over from live action to animation. My first job was I was the assistant to the supervising and directing animators at Pixar. And Jimmy was one of them at the time, along with some other folks people might know, Pete Docter, Brad Bird, folks like that. I've worked with all those fellas.
That's great. That's great. So again, what's your title there at Real Effects and how long have you been there?
I've been at Real Effects for about 3 years and my current position is assistant director.
And what's a typical day like there at the office?
Typical day here can range. It really depends on what's going on with the film. Sometimes you can be in a lot of creative meetings. Sometimes you can be in technical meetings and sometimes you're flying. It's tricky. We have a facility in Santa Monica. At the beginning of our films, our storyboard team and our design team, along with our director and our script writers, are housed in a development pods in Santa Monica, and they traverse back and forth between Dallas and Santa Monica to kind of get these films done. That's the current model we're using.
Yeah, and I was going to ask how technology has changed, but it seems like that's great that you could work in two different cities like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know the deal. I mean, the reality is before coming onto this film, I was actually running a small boutique in Hawaii.
Oh, great.
And we had clients on the mainland. And so, CineSync and Skype and Camtasia for screen recording and screen grabbing, all sorts of files shares. And the reality is now with these films and the technology that exists right off the shelf, it's pretty easy to work in separate cities. 5 years ago, you probably couldn't do it, or you needed to have really, really big, powerful FTP sites and lots of privacy and permission and stuff, but it's much easier now to kind of work with remotes and work with freelancers, which we do on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What kind of software then do you use, aside from the FTP and the technical side of it, what software do you use in the film production?
Well, what's interesting is like any new film, you know, we're breaking out in a new business model here. The Pixar films, the DreamWorks films, the budgets, when I first started on them, on Toy Story, you know, were $60, $70 million. And now they're up in the 180 range in some cases. And part of that is because they have proprietary software that they're kind of pinned down and have to use. And because of that, they have to have people that are trained to use that software, which is part of the reason that the prices kind of have continued to kind of go up at the major studios. What's nice at a smaller place like Real Effects or a smaller boutique studio that maybe has just gotten into the game later is obviously things like simulation and special effects and all these things that you need to have a double PhD from MIT. to run with lots of code and stuff going on, and of course a very long beard. you can now go and buy software off the shelf and get simulations and fire and explosions and water and 3D sims and hair and fur.
And feathers.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where software has changed a lot in the last decade.
Yeah.
And it's made it easier for us small folks to compete with the big folks.
Yeah. What were your render times like on a movie like this then with all the feather simulations and...
Free Birds was interesting because there were some great folks in-house. And then we reached out to some of our colleagues in the industry that were looking to make a change. And we were able to procure some great fur people from Blue Sky Studios who've worked on a lot of, I mean, most of their movies, the Ice Age movies, Rio, of course, with feather. I mean, all of their movies have had fur feathers in it. So we were able to grab one of their fur folks, and she came down here, and we wrote some proprietary software here using some in-house code. And we are proud to say that our render times were much shorter than Blue Sky's.
You got to love that.
Listen, Blue Sky wouldn't blink at like 30 hours a frame for a furred frame close-up. We were doing much, much better than that. We were down in the teens.
Wow.
Which is pretty good for considering the fact that we developed and implemented the software in less than a year.
So do you have a render farm in-house, or do you ship overseas for render farms?
We are proud to say that every frame of this movie has been produced on United States soil. We have a render farm in-house. Obviously, it grew a little bit on Free Birds because the majority of the work that had been done here before was sequence work for other features or a short format stuff. So we had to go out and procure a few more nodes than were in-house. And for our future films coming up, we've got Book of Life, which doesn't have too much of that in it, but... the next film that's greenlit after that, which is Beast of Burden or Dogs, is all furred animals. So,
and are all those films going to be 3D as well?
Absolutely. They will all be 3D. 3D. Let's talk about 3D.
Like stereoscopic 3D. Let's differentiate that.
The Royal 3D. The nice thing about the pipe they have here is we get our 3D renders for free because our pipe is already set up to render in stereo. So... that eye is always there. So in our play blasts in Maya and in our rendering in Renderman and you know, Mantra, if we're going to use ray tracing, the nice thing is that stereo camera is already set up. So when we render a shot, we're getting those frames for free. There isn't an extra step for us.
That's great. So were there any production nightmares during Free Birds?
I think, you know, listen, the reality is this is my 13th CG feature. I'm getting old. And they always all have the same nightmares. And it's about 50% of the movie gets lit in the last 3 months. And the last 10% of the movie that really makes it sing is done in maybe the last couple of weeks. So
Wow. There's
always that mad scramble at the end to get it looking really pretty and having it make sense and tying all the story arcs together and stuff like that. I think the biggest nightmare we had here, in addition to the 120-degree days of summer in Texas, was that our building was under rehabilitation during the entire production. We did the movie here in about 14 months, and I think for about 7 of those, there were jackhammers or chisels.
Oh, brother.
Saws going outside. So our artists, God bless them, all went out and procured headphones and buckled. We worked through the dust and noise. That was the biggest challenge by far.
Wow, that's insane. I can't imagine that. Well, I saw the movie over the weekend, and it's really great, and it's family-friendly and fun.
Yeah, listen, the reality is, between you and I, you know, we're very proud of the film, and we're very happy to be working with our distributor, Relativity, on this. The director's cut is probably a little bit different than what most of the kids are going to see in the theater, and hopefully someday you guys will see that.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be fantastic. So as a final question, do you have any advice for an aspiring animation artist or a student trying to break into the business?
Absolutely, absolutely. First of all, to all of you students out there, I admire what you do. I'm a photographer by trade, and I've been in the animation industry now for roughly 22, 23 years, and I still don't know how you guys get up every day and animate for those brief seconds of beauty that you come up with. And I really admire what you do. So first of all, I want to say that to the students. But I think the best thing I could offer as advice for students is to make sure that you spend your time doing character animation tests. I think a lot of students in school and a lot of the 3D programs, They make them step through all the disciplines, right? So you have to, for your senior project, for most students that I talk to, they've had to write their script, come up with their idea, build their character, rig their character, texture it, light it, and animate it. And that's great. You get the senior project where you've got this piece where the student has proven that they are proficient in all the disciplines. But what we don't get in some cases in most of those programs where you're kind of forced to do that whole thing is you don't really excel at any one thing. So I would say to any young student out there that although that's your senior project and although at your school you may be asked to do an entire thing, if your thing is storyboarding or if your thing is animation or if your thing is modeling, make sure that in your copious amounts of free time while you're studying that you continue to pursue those things on your own and build your own personal portfolio separate from your schoolwork. So for instance, if you wanted to be a character animator, that you're spending some extra time doing some tests that have nothing to do with assignments for school. If you are a modeler and you want to be a modeler or a sculptor, that you're working on stuff that you're interested in, that you're art directing yourself, that is how you feel about modeling and maybe not how your professor feels about it. That would be my advice, because in the end, what we want to see is variety in portfolios from our artists. And what we're tending to get right now from students, to be honest with you, is kind of this boilerplate, generic, here's my senior project, and it all kind of looks the same. It's all kind of half-baked.
Yeah. That's really great advice. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Absolutely.
It was really great, and we hope to chat with you soon on the next project.
There will be many more.
We're looking forward to it.
All right, man.
All right, good talking with you.
All right, buddy, take it easy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Beautiful. Thanks, brother.
You betcha. Thank you.
All of us here at Animation Insider are looking forward to the next exciting project from RealFX. Be sure to visit freebirdsmovie.com and go see Free Birds from RealFX Animation Studios and Relativity Media in theaters starting November 1st, 2013, featuring the amazing work by Jeff Biancolana, Rich McCain, Chris DiGiovanni, and the rest of the incredible team at RealFX. Check out what else they're up to at realfx.com, R-E-E-L-F-X.com. And thanks to everybody at Animation Insider for bringing me on to do these interviews. They were tons of fun, and we hope to do more like them. And I hope to see you guys real soon. Once again, I'm Tony from COPO, reporting for AnimationInsider.com. Be sure to check out my website for some 3D training tutorials and more at COPO.com, S-I-O-P-I-O.com. Thank you, Mike Milo. Keep up the amazing work, and we'll see you guys later.